inside our homes. For example, if a wall needs support, we are not allowed to build it even if it is dangerous for our lives. In contrast, the Israeli regime occupation municipality quickly grants the necessary permits to the illegal Jewish Zionist settlement outpost inside the town and allows for any construction works that may be needed, Abu Tayyeh told Palestine Chronicle. In fact, the excavation and construction work carried out by the settlers leads to great damage to the old Palestinian homes. Moreover, after refusing to allow them the necessary permits, the Israeli regime authorities often ask the Palestinian residents to evacuate their homes under the pretext that these homes have become dangerous for habitation. The Wadi Helva Information Center explains that there are various dangers resulting from this. When the residents are forced to leave their homes, the buildings eventually fall under the control of the Israeli regime occupation municipality, which over time passes the ownership to the illegal Zionist settlers. Meanwhile, the excavation work below the Wadi Helwa neighborhood never stops, as demonstrated by specialized trucks that transport the dust emptied from the bottom of the ground. When Palestinians ask, through a lawyer, to enter the tunnels and monitor the works, the Israeli occupation authorities prevent them from doing so, the center said. Zionist Jewish settlement groups claim that these tunnels are part of the search for Jewish antiquities in the region. These efforts are concentrated in the town of Silvan, which the settlers call the City of David. Although until now, no Jewish antiquities have been found to support these baseless claims, the digging continues, causing the collapse of Palestinian homes and a constant threat to the lives of the Palestinian residents.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to the listeners of IRIB English Radio Color of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I am Atta, the host of this program. Within the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi and Shaykh Rouhani. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
And Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaykum to you.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
So, in the Islamic calendar, it is believed that Sha'ban 4th is the birthday anniversary of one of the most outstanding personalities of Islam, of whom is not so much known maybe in some Muslim lands, but for today's discussion we want to talk more about him. He is no one but Hazrat Abu al-Fazl Abbas. The great status of Abu al-Fazl Abbas is known to most of the Shias all across the world, especially the 12 Shias, as the faithful brother, faithful companion of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, who sacrificed everything he had for the cause of Islam and acting against the tyranny of, we can say, and the Yazid. He was martyred on Karbala event, and his martyrdom is on the day of Ashura in the year 61 AH. Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi, give us some details about Hazrat Abu al-Fazl Abbas. Who was his father, his mother? What was exact his birthday date? What was the quality and the main important characteristics of Hazrat Abu al-Fazl Abbas?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, Hazrat Abbas was son of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. After the martyrdom of Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha, Imam Ali alayhi salam married Ummul Baneen, the mother of Hazrat Abbas.
Okay.
And on the request of Imam Ali, he asked his brother to find the most brave tribe from where he wants to marry a lady, from which he wants a son who can help Imam Hussein in the land of Karbala. So this was the background of basically.
So this was a prediction by Imam Ali?
Yes, this was a prediction.
That one day such and such will happen, so
obviously,
I need a brave son?
Obviously, the Prophet has given the news. Uh-huh. Even when Imam Hussein alayhi salam was born, we have the narrations in the history. It is narrated in the Sunni and Shia both books that the Prophet started to cry when he got Imam Hussein in his laps. And Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra asked her father,
yes,
why you're crying. And therefore he narrated, or he predicted, or he told,
okay,
the situation that will happen on the land of Karbala, that one day this child will be martyred by the Zalimeen. So we have the narrations about the incident of Karbala before it happened.
Yes.
And this news was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet, and the Prophet gave this news to Ahlul Bayt.
Okay.
So it was there. We cannot say like this is something new.
But Hazrat Abu al-Fazl Abbas is not considered among the Ahlul Bayt, is it?
No. Hazrat Abbas, when we say Ahlul Bayt, obviously we are talking about 14 infallible personalities,
yes. Okay.
Which is the Prophet, Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra, and 12 Imam. Hazrat Abbas, obviously, his mother's name was also Fatima, but she changed her name and she requested Imam Ali to name her as Ummul Baneen, because when they used to call her Fatima, he thought that it wouldn't be good for Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein to listen or to hear the name of their mother. And since it was the name of Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra, therefore she requested to change the name to Ummul Baneen and to call her as Ummul,
yes,
Baneen. So this was.
And we know that all the sons of Ummul Baneen.
Yes, there are four sons.
Yeah.
They were in the land of Karbala.
Abbas was
in the land of Karbala. Yes. And they were brought up in a way that they are the servants of Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, not the brothers.
Okay.
And we have a very famous, story about the Battle of Siffin.
Yes.
That Imam Ali alayhi salam used to send Hazrat Abbas to the front line to battle.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, one of the companions of Imam Ali said to Abbas alayhi salam that it looks like your father doesn't love you, and he loves Hassan and Hussein more than you.
More than you.
And he said, why is it so? So he said, because he's sending you and, Muhammad bin Hanafiya, he's sending you guys all the time, and he never sends Hassan and Hussein.
Yes.
And there Hazrat Abbas replied to him. He said that, look, Hassan and Hussein are the sons of Prophet, and I am the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib.
Uh-huh.
If he's not sending me, you expect him to send the sons of the Prophet?
Okay.
So this was the level of,
yes,
the nurturing, how they were nurtured,
courtesy,
brought up,
the politeness,
yeah, courtesy,
yes, yes,
and the things that were said to them by their mother, the way they were raised up by,
yes,
their mother. So this is an overall, we can say.
They
like
were all referring to Imam Hassan al-Hussein as Mawlai,
yes,
my master, only on the day of Ashura. He called him brother.
Brother, yes.
Muhammad Hussein alayhi salam. Okay, that's all right. Okay, Shaykh Rouhani, the greatest status of Hazrat Abul Fazl Abbas, he is Bab al-Hawaij, you know. Even our Sunni brethren believe very much in Hazrat Abul Fazl Abbas, visiting his tomb, okay, answering in order to answer their needs. He is known as Abbas, okay, Abul Fazl Abbas. So many other nicknames are also given to him, Abul Faraja, Abul Gharba, Abul Ghassim. Okay, these are all the titles that are given to Hazrat Abbas. What do you have to say about the greatest status of Hazrat Abul Fazl Abbas?
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When it comes to Hazrat Abul Fazl Abbas, I think, of course, we can look at his personality, his character from different perspectives. But what I prefer is to look at from this perspective that what did he do for Islam?
Very good.
Because Abul Fazl al-Abbas is not only important, as you rightly mentioned, for only the Shia Muslims, but also for the Sunni Muslims,
yes,
as well.
Yes.
So it shows it's his great kind of personality in the eyes of all Muslims. So the question is that what did he do for Islam? Actually, when we go back to the history, we see that after the demise of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were different readings of Islam or qira'a of Islam. So one of these kind of readings or interpretation of Islam was Yazidi interpretation, uh-huh, or Yazidi reading of Islam. So according to Ahl al-Bayt alayhim salatu wasalam, this kind of reading or this kind of introduction that, or let's say interpretation that was presented by Yazidis, by Amawids, it was a kind of wrong reading of Islam.
Yes.
Because when you go back to the personality of Yazid, we see that when Imam Hussein alayhi wasalam called upon all Muslims to help him to stop Yazid from making deviation in the Islam, the people at the beginning, they did not support Imam Hussein alayhi wasalam. But later, after the incident of Karbala, after that Yazid army attacked Medina and did lots of wrong things in Medina, and then his army attacked Mecca.
Yes.
And the army burned the Holy Kaaba.
Yes.
And in front of the people, all Muslims witnessed all these things that would happen by the armies of Yazid. Then later the people understood that it was Imam Hussein who was in the right path, in the right position. We see that Abul Fazl Abbas' knowledge, Abul Fazl Abbas' ma'rifah or knowledge,
very good,
about Imam Hussein alayhi wasalam, about the path of Imam Hussein alayhi wasalam, about the qiyam or the revolt of Imam Hussein, mm-hmm, alayhi wasalam against Yazid, it was so much complete, it was so much perfect. I mean, he better understood the situation as compared to many other even companions of the Holy Prophet, many, let's say, so-called great personalities at that time.
Yes.
But it was Abul Fazl Abbas, though he was young at that time, but he understood what to do, what is his responsibility,
yes,
and how should he defend the religion of Islam, the religion of his grandfather, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why he supported Imam Hussein alayhi wasallam. He sacrificed himself for the sake of the true Islam, actually, to help us nowadays to better understand Islam, to find out the true Islam, because now we can be 100% sure that, for example, if there was not Ashura and Karbala, of course, then Yazid and the followers of Yazid, okay, and the Yazidi people would do anything that they wanted to do with Islam.
So you can call Hazrat Abul Fazl Abbas
a very great personality.
And the main protector of the cause of Imam al-Hussein, yes, alayhi salam. That's right.
But this mission was a kind of divine mission,
that was
fulfilled by Abul Fazl Abbas, alayhi salatu wasalam. Yes.
And did he know, did he have such power to see the results of Karbala events? Of course, he was not an infallible imam. We would say that we have Ismat al-Kubra and Ismat al-Sughra, that Hazrat Abul Fazl Abbas is among the first people who has this Ismat al-Sughra. I mean, he was not infallible, but he had minor infallibility. So it gives him, I think, special powers in order to predict what will happen on the day of Karbala, okay, and helping out the brother and the Sayyidi, as he called it, I mean, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Isn't it so, Sayyid?
Well, obviously, he was told by the Ahlul Bayt, by his father and the other others that there will be a day on the land of Karbala where there is a need for you. And he was prepared for the land of Karbala specifically. Mm-hmm. You know, the way we have the narrations and the historian has narrated that Abbas was waiting for the day of Karbala. On the other hand, what I want to talk about Hazrat Abbas is he was a mere protector and a mere obedient of the Imam of the time.
Mm-hmm.
There is a sermon by Abbas alayhi salam which he gave on the 8th of Zilhajjah.
Uh-huh.
You know, when Imam was in the Mecca and the army of Yazid, they came, the spies of Yazid, they came, they wanted to martyr Imam Hussein. There, Hazrat Abbas, he went on top of the roof of the Kaaba and he delivered a sermon. And that sermon is very important. I don't know if we have time.
Because
I can
very good parts
recite.
Of it.
Yes, because he starts with the praise of Allah. Alhamdulillah, alladhi sharafa hadha biqudumi abi. This is the house in which I'm standing. This was honored by the birth of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Oh.
Qudum-e Abi with the birth of his father.
His father.
So he's introducing Imam Hussein to everyone. And you can see the ma'arifa of Imam, the way he looked at Imam Hussein and how will you look. And on the other hand, where he was the brother of Imam Hussein, he didn't say my father or Ali ibn Abi Talib. He said his father.
His father.
Right? Man kana bil amsa baytan asbaha qibla. The one which was a house before, it became a qibla.
The qibla now.
Ayyuhal kafaratul fajra. Now, this is very important. We have kafaratul fajra in the Quran, the verse. Ayyuhal kafaratul fajra. There are two words, kafir and fajr. Kafir is the person who disbelieves, who refuses to accept the authority of Allah. Fajr is the person who commits sin and he never, you know, repents.
Yes.
This is for our brothers as well, listeners as well. Okay. Fajr and fasiq are used in the same context.
Okay.
Fajr and fasiq is a person who commits a sin, but they never, you know, do repentance or they do tawbah for the mistake which they have done. So as Hazrat Abbas is talking to those people that أَيُّهَا الْكَفَرَةُ الْفَجَرَةُ أَتَّصَدُّونَ طَرِيقَ الْبَيْتِ لِإِمَامِ الْبَرَرَةِ. Are you going to stop or close the way of this house, this bayt, this house, to the Imam of the goodness, to the Imam of Barara? There is a sentence in it. He says, وَلَوْ لَا حِكَمُ اللَّهِ الْجَلِيَّ. If it wasn't the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَسْرَارُهُ الْعَلِيَّ, and not the, you know, the exalted
secrets
of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاخْتِبَارُهُ الْبَرِيَّ, and if it wasn't the examination of, or test or trial for the people, لَطَارَ الْبَيْتِ إِلَيْهِ. This house would have flown towards Imam Hussein in Medina before he comes towards this house.
Wow.
And
these are the sentences of Hazrat Abbas.
It is really exalted
sentences.
قَدْ اسْتَلَمَ النَّاسُ الْحَجَرَ. Before the people come and they kiss the Hajr al-Aswad, you know, وَالْحَجَرُ يَسْتَلَمُ يَدَيْهِ.
Wow.
This stone will flew and he goes towards the Imam of the time. This is the Hujjah. He's introducing the Hujjah
like
authority.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, this is like
the
a poem.
Authority, how the authority is that the authority of Allah is that everything, even the house of Allah, will flew towards him. So when you're coming, and that's why, you know, when Imam Hussein, that's what the ulama and the warafa has said, when Imam have left, Hazrat Abbas is telling in this, that if Imam is not there, then no matter you go around the Kaaba. No matter you do sujood,
yes,
you know,
you don't know your pray. Imam of the time.
When you don't recognize your Imam, then this has nothing to do. Because why? The reason is that this house, the soul of house is not there.
That's right.
The spirit of house is with the Imam. When he says latar al-bayt, it means that wherever there is an Imam, this house is there. The importance of house is because of the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this sermon, he introduces two families.
Okay.
You know, he introduces the Yazid's family and he introduces the Imam's family.
Yes.
And he says that, you know, you don't know that. Where are you? Hayhat. Fanzuru thum manzuru. Look where you're standing today. If you're standing mimman sharibul khamri.
Okay.
Are you standing with someone who's in the, you know, in the sins?
Yes.
Or you're standing with mimman sahibul hawzi wal kawsar.
Yes.
Wa mimman fi baytihi al-wahyu wal Qur'an. وَمِمَّنْ فِي بَيْتِهِ اللَّحَوَاتِ وَالدَّنَسَاتِ وَمِمَّنْ فِي بَيْتِهِ التَّطْهِيرِ وَالْآيَاتِ.
Yes.
So he's comparing two families.
Yes.
That look, you're with the Yazid. Yazid is شارب الخمر.
Yes.
He drinks alcohol, right?
Yes.
He's in the his family, because he's talking about the family.
Okay.
You know, his family is in the lahawat, in the sins, in the, you know, the things which are worldly, material. He's okay. Totally in the material things. Whereas Imam Hussein's family is the family where the Wahi and Quran has been revealed.
That's right.
It's been sent down. Okay. And the end is like he says, وَأَنْتُمْ وَقَعْتُمْ فِي الْغَلْطَةِ الَّتِي وَقَعَتْ فِيهَا الْقُرَيْشِ. You are doing the same mistake which Quraysh was doing.
Okay.
This is the Rajas.
Yes.
He's basically saying a bravado here.
Yes. Okay.
That you're in the same mistake which Quraysh was doing. Why? The reason is that you have willed to kill the son of the daughter of the Prophet. Whereas it wasn't possible the way it wasn't possible for the Quraysh to kill the Prophet when they willed to do that, when they wished to do that. Why? Because Amirul Mu'mineen was there. And today I am son of Amirul Mu'mineen is here to protect the grandson of the Prophet.
That's right.
So the way Amirul Mu'mineen protected the Prophet, I will protect the son of the Prophet.
Because most of the people, especially the Shia ones, also believe in Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas as a very brave man,
yes,
a man of sword or something like that. But when it referred to the sentences of Hazrat Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas, they're really, really rich in terms of
They
content.
Are really extraordinary sentences. You know, the way he says, like, if I attack you, you know, if I attack you, it will be like, you know, an eagle attacking the small birds. And when they see the eagle, they spread out.
Spread out. That's right. And this is what happened. That's right. Yes. Okay, Sheikh Rouhani, your final remarks?
Yes, just one point that I wanted to mention. Our brothers or listeners can refer to some of the ahadith regarding Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, which are narrated from Imam al-Sajjad, Imam al-Baqir, Imam al-Sadiq. But one of the very, very meaningful hadiths which is narrated about Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas from Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam is this, that on the day of Ashura, we cannot see this kind of phrase or this kind of saying from the infallible Imam about anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
It is something unique about Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas that Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam on the day of Ashura said, or said to Imam to Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas this way, that irkab fadaka akhuk, ride, may your brother Hussein be sacrificed for you.
Wow.
And this is what is narrated about Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, that Imam Hussein alayhi wasalam addressed him in this way, that may I be sacrificed for you, Ya Abu al-Fadl.
Very good.
Ride your horse.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this sort of sayings, this sort of hadith, we can never find about anyone else except for Hadrat Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salatu wasalam. And it shows that how much high status or what a great personality
right.
it had in the viewpoint of Imam Hussein والسلام, as an infallible Imam.
That's right. Ya Kashif al Karbi and Vajh al Hussein, Ekshif Karbi bihaq Akhik al Hussein, or the remover of the agony from the face of Imam al Hussein, remove the agony for our heart. This is the zikr that is recommended very much to say in regard to Hazrat Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas on this day, Sha'ban 4th, the birthday anniversary of the one of the best servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Ahlul Bayt, inshallah, our Muslim brothers all across the world find a chance to pay a visit to the holy shrine of Hazrat Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas in Karbala. It is very much recommended that before going to the holy shrine of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, go to Hazrat Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas, okay, as a gate, and be prepared in order to go to the holy shrine of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. May Allah bless us with finding a chance of going to Karbala and visiting the tomb of Hazrat Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas and Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Thank you, my Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi and Shaykh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding Hazrat Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas and the great struggles that he did for the cause of Islam. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir. Till another episode, God bless you. Afiyah Malam.
I know that you could easily take away everything you've given me, and I try to remember not to take anything for granted.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. Please don't forget to log on to our website at parstoday.ir. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Allah, ya Allah.
Food for thought.
Salam, everybody, and heartiest felicitations to you all. Today is the 4th of Sha'ban, the auspicious birthday of the immortal standard bearer of Karbala, Hazrat Abbas, peace upon him. Here is what his father, the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, peace upon him, said, entrusting the newborn to the care of the immortal martyr of Karbala. O Hussein, I am entrusting to you this child. He will represent me on the day of your supreme sacrifice and lay down his life in defending you and your dear ones, much as I would have done if alive on that day.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
Iran's technological future.
Part 1.
In May 1945, a group of experts prepared a base to detonate 100 tons of TNT. They were busy finding an appropriate criterion to measure a huge bomb in Alamogordo, New Mexico. The volume of the explosives should have been so large to simulate the main test. In the middle of all this, the differences of opinion between two groups of scientists over the secretive Manhattan Project grew larger. This group of scientists, who were supposed to change the mid-20th century's fate, could not reach an agreement on a certain issue. Most of them were of the opinion that after making an atomic bomb, the United States should put its power on display at night for Japanese envoys in order to make the Japanese emperor surrender by threatening him with the bomb. However, theoretical physicist Edward Teller insisted on testing the atomic bomb on a city to learn about its effects on its population.
The American people in their righteous
fight. The only thing that could put an end to the differences was the speech by then U.S. President Franklin Roosevelt for the scientist. It tipped the balance in favor of Teller.
Among other things, and at the climax, he said, "You scientists are blamed for the weapons to be used. But I tell you that if you now won't work on weapons, the freedom of the world will be lost." Now, you know, I had the feeling that Roosevelt was talking to me. I was there when the letter was signed that awoke his interest in nuclear energy. I thought I knew. He was talking about nuclear energy, of the 2,000 scientists there. I felt he was talking to me.
Some people consider Edward Teller as a clear example of a mad scientist. Many critics believe that Stanley Kubrick was inspired by Edward Teller to create the notorious character Dr. Strangelove.
The report, my conclusion, was that this idea was not a practical deterrent for reasons which at this moment must be all too obvious.
Then you mean it is possible for them to have built such a thing?
Mr. President, the technology required is easily within the means of even the smallest nuclear power. It requires only the will to do so.
After the TNT explosion test, it was eventually decided that the first bomb should go off in Alamogordo, which is located 230 miles south of New Mexico in Los Alamos. The operation was codenamed Trinity. The codename comes from the belief in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in Christianity. They were planning to launch the largest massacre of human beings in the name of Jesus. This 21-ton bomb was 200 times stronger than the calibration test. The light was so intense that could immediately cause blindness. It was visible within the radius of 16 kilometers. It melted the sands in the desert and turned them into green crystals. The radioactive effects remained in the region for 50 years. Before the bomb was tested, two other bombs named Little Boy and Fat Man were secretly taken to Oceania to be prepared for an attack on two Japanese cities. It was 8:15 a.m. local time on August 6, 1945. The first bomb, Little Boy, was dropped on Hiroshima by a bomber named Enola Gay. For the bomber to have enough time to flee the explosion, they dropped the bomb via a parachute. To make the detonation stronger, the bomb was set to go off 576 meters above the ground. Those who saw Little Boy explode mid-air from a distance said they saw a new sun in the sky. After the blast, two-thirds of the buildings in Hiroshima, including steelmaking and industrial factories, were completely destroyed. The only thing that was left standing in the city was the Hiroshima Prefectural Industrial Promotion Hall. The explosion happened on top of the building's dome, and as it was within the central focus of the blast, it was not completely devastated. The moment the bomb went off, about 100,000 residents in Hiroshima died on the spot. While Japan was in shock and the Japanese people had almost realized that they were defeated, then U.S. President Harry Truman announced that this bomb was just a warning. 3 days later, another bomb was detonated in Nagasaki, which claimed the lives of 40,000 people in that city. Next day, Japan conceded defeat and surrendered to U.S. conditions to end the war. In the following years, more people succumbed to injuries sustained after the explosion due to radiation. Even though the U.S. honored its forces who were involved in the Manhattan Project and the agents in the carnage were awarded, the events pushed the public to rise up against nuclear weapons. The harms caused by the newly invented elements were not always sudden and tangible like atomic bombs. The start of nuclear war dated back to 50 years before when radioactive material was first discovered. In the spring of 1896, Marie Curie and her husband, Pierre Curie, discovered the amazing characteristics of some mineral stones, including uranium. They realized that the elements in the stones emit radiations that are not visible but pass through many barriers. The radiation was named gamma. After her husband's death, Marie Curie continued her research in 1910. It led to the discovery of radium as a new radioactive element.
Madame Curie.
The discovery made her the first woman to receive the Nobel Prize twice. The award cost Marie Curie a lot. Many doctors say she was a victim of radioactive material, especially radium, during her experiments in the lab. The possibility was raised in the following years because back then nuclear scientists did not know anything about the harmful effects of nuclear material. It caused bigger catastrophe. The discovery of radium among natural radioactive elements with the half-life of about 1600 years left everyone in astonishment. The element's strange radiation added new color to advertisement in the West. Since the damage caused by the element and its radiation hadn't come to light yet, opportunistic traders sought to fulfill people's demands with these elements. They claimed that this dangerous material can help him live longer and healthier, so they introduced it to people's daily lives. They were used in the most sensitive cosmetic and hygienic products, including body lotions, lipsticks, toothpaste, and even water, bread, and chocolate. They claimed that radium as an ingredient in products is considered something positive. On the other hand, in 1917, the United States had just been involved in World War I. The Army needed clocks whose hands were luminous at night in the dark. So factories across the U.S. took up the job and started producing clocks. To paint the tiny impact numbers on the clock's screen, they instructed female workers to press the tip of the brush with their lips in order to keep it tiny. They were told that working with radium paint was not hazardous. After a while, some of the workers were diagnosed with strange diseases. They would go to the dentist to pull their decayed teeth, but not only wouldn't they be cured, their teeth would get injured. Things gradually got worse. After dentists touched their jaws, they would get injured. Many of them had cancerous tumors in their bones, and they would easily break. The first person who died was a 25-year-old woman named Amelia Maggia, nicknamed Molly. She succumbed to the disease in less than a year. The doctors didn't have an answer to her mysterious death. Gradually, as more and more female workers came down with illness, they pieced together the puzzle and found out that radium was the reason behind the deadly disease. Although after 5 or 6 years in the mid-30s, advertising products that contained radioactive element and using them in products were altogether banned, their effects continued to last.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you we present to you today.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to today's special. We express our congratulations on the auspicious birthday anniversary of Hazrat Abul Fazl Abbas. Today, Saturday, is the fourth of the month of Sha'ban, 1442 of the Islamic lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the sixth of Isfan, 1401 of the Islamic solar Hijri calendar, and the 25th of February, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We would like to express again our congratulations on the auspicious birthday of the faithful companion and brother of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, Hazrat Abul Fazl al-Abbas. Our congratulations and our heartfelt auspicious feelings goes to you all, dear Muslims, on this very beautiful day on the Islamic calendar.
Kindness in our hearts, when all the fun starts, exhilaration. Smiles everywhere, delight in the air, jollification. Oh, trips and blissful visits, colorful outfits, mark this occasion.
The name of Hazrat Abul Fazl Abbas. After holding the Islamic ceremonies of newborns for Imam Ali's new baby, Lady Zainab turned her face towards her father and asked, "Father, have you chosen a name and a nickname for this new baby?" His father answered, "Yes, daughter, I have." "What are they, father?" she asked eagerly. The father, as he perceived that this baby would be one of the heroes of Islam and would be frowning in the face of evils and the wrongdoers, said, "I name him Al-Abbas and nickname him Abul Fadh, father of virtue." Al-Abbas means the lion that other lions fear and escape. This name is given to the courageous, the fearless, the strong, and the attacker. It is one of the names of a lion. Describing Al-Abbas in the battlefields, many historians have likened him to the angry lion. Al-Abbas ibn Ali looked like an unshakable mountain. His heart was the same as such as immovable mound, because he was such a unique horseman and a hero. In battlefields, he was fearless. Today, Sha'ban 4th is the birthday anniversary of this courageous man, Hazrat Abul Fazl Abbas, so our auspicious congratulations goes to all the dear listeners, all Muslims, especially the Shia ones, across the world.
In Arabic, we have two similar words, but they're very, very different. We have the word basar. Basar means vision. If you don't have vision, you can't see. There is a word that sounds like basar, but it's more important. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, in one hadith, he says, you would rather lose your basar but not this other one. This other one is basira. Basira means what? Basira means internal vision. Basar allows you to see the reality of things from the outside. You see the surface. Basira allows you to see the inside. It gives you insight into the world. Basira is more important than basar. Because once the basira is blind, your humanity is blinded. Justice is blinded. Good values are blinded. My dear brothers and sisters, when you think of the hero of Karbala, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, alayhi salam, what do you think he had others didn't? What was special about Abu al-Fadl? Have you ever wondered? Courageous? Many people in history are courageous. I mean, look at the companions of Imam Hussein, alayhi salam. They were all courageous. Did you see any one of them on the day of Ashura showing you weakness? Habib ibn Madahir, he was not courageous. Muslim ibn Awsajah, he was not courageous. All of them were courageous. What makes Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas stand out? Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam tells us, Rahim Allah Ammi al-Abbas. May Allah bless our uncle Abbas. Why? Kana Ammun al-Abbas Nafid al-Basira. Our uncle Abbas had sharp inner vision. He saw the reality of things. At a time when the world was deceiving most Muslims, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas saw the reality of this world. Kana Ammun al-Abbas Nafid al-Basira. He had that inner vision, inner light to see the reality of things. Most people see the outside surface. If you were to go back, my dear brothers and sisters, 1,000 years ago, and you would take your smartphone and you would show it to the people, what would they see? They would see this weird, black, rectangular-shaped object. They don't even know what it is. See, when you look at the outside, that's all you see. But then, once you tell them, let me show you what this thing can do. You can call, you can take pictures, you can read, you can put your notes, you can do a million things on this device. That's life. Most people, when they look at life, that's what they see, the outside. Basira gives you that internal vision, my dear brothers and sisters. Now, you know what's the biggest block, the biggest obstacle that blinds our basira, our internal vision? Public opinion. Most people don't think. They go with the flow. They don't challenge what they're told. And that's the problem of Muslims today. They have become like parrots. Whatever they're told, they repeat. Basira means you can challenge the thoughts being given to you. Everything that is said to you, my dear brothers and sisters, challenge it. Especially if the majority believes in it. Because the Quran is always critical of the majority and what the majority thinks. Challenge it.
Let us rejoice indeed. This is the day of Eid. Let us rejoice indeed. For this is the day of Eid.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Alayhi salatullah, alayhi salatullah. La ilaha
The nicknames of Hazrat Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas. Al-Abbas was called Abu al-Fazl, father or owner of virtue. Some mentioned that he had a son called al-Fazl too. As a matter of fact, this name represents his personality completely because he was the owner, leader, and a source of virtues. In his life, he was so open-handed, he used to distribute his virtue and charity to anyone who was directed to him. After martyrdom, he has been the shelter and refuge for everyone who seeks his help. Most surely, God relieves him who turns to him and implores to him by using Abu al-Fazl as his means and interceder. Because this is so commonly experienced, the fact is undeniable. He was also called Abu al-Qasim. This name, however, is not common among historians, some of whom have mentioned that al-Abbas has a son called al-Qasim, who was martyred during the Battle of At-Taf. Our congratulations again goes to you, all dear listeners across the world, on the auspicious birthday anniversary of Hazrat Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas.
Every sound and every voice in every language ever heard, each drop of ink that has been used to write every single word, they can portray everything I feel in my heart and wanna say. And it's hard to explain why I could never describe my love for you.
Hazrat Abulfazl Abbas is called as Bab al-Husayn. Like his father, who was like the gate to the Prophet's knowledge, Al-Abbas is the actual and spiritual gate to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Because of the high moral standards and great faithfulness of Al-Abbas, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam used to choose him for every mission and depend upon him in every difficult situation. Likewise, Al-Abbas dedicated himself to being at the disposal of his brother. He was the protector and defender of the Prophet's household. It is related that Al-Abbas used to call his brother as master or mawla. Only on one day and in one situation did Al-Abbas address his brother as brother. That was on the day of Ashura. Hence, it is recommended for the pilgrims of the tomb of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam to begin first with visiting the tomb of Al-Abbas. This is one of the confirmations of Al-Abbas being the gate to his brother, the chief of the martyrs, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Of course, the door or the gate intended here is the mental and spiritual one. Al-Abbas, hence, is the spiritual gate to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, and this meaning is very far from the familiar meaning of portership. Al-Abbas is too far above such meanings, and Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is also too far above taking doorkeepers, since he is beyond all material limits.
The reason why we celebrate the birth of any of the Ma'sumin or any other great person is because of that great person being a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us, and we need to appreciate that blessing on that day. It's a day where God has blessed us.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember, every part.
One characteristic that Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas had was insight. Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, salamullahi alayhi, coming with Abu Abdullah al-Husayn to Karbala didn't just happen. He wasn't forced. In Medina, there was a lot of opposition to the decision of the Imam, not by others, by the very family members of Imam al-Husayn. The husband of Zainab, salamullahi alayha, Abdullah ibn Ja'far al-Tayyar, he was opposed to this decision. Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya, the other brother of Imam al-Husayn, was opposed to this decision, and he didn't come. And there were other family members as well that didn't come. They didn't show up. They didn't agree with the Imam. They thought the Imam was making a big mistake. And the second point about Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas is his loyalty. His loyalty to Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. Because when you understand, one thing is to understand what's right to do. Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas did that.
Allah ma'ana, tasma'una wa tarana. Allah, Allah, inna, naruduka al-wufrana.
Today, Shaban falls is the birthday anniversary of Hazrat Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. A congratulations goes to all dear listeners all across the world, especially the dear listeners of the program Today's Special on IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Today's Special. We hope you enjoyed this episode, which was especially about the birthday anniversary of Hazrat Abu al-Fazl Abbas. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي
علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.